In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a quote, not from today's Gospel, but from Revelations. And in Revelations, John the Evangelist, the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, describes heaven this way. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. Apparently, at least in John's vision, the streets of heaven are paved in gold. And this morning I would submit that I think we can actually take this in quite a literal fashion, and I want to make the case for that in this morning's sermon. That the path of heaven, the path to heaven, the streets of heaven, are in fact golden. And I say that because this morning's gospel contains one of the most important lessons of life that any of us can adhere to. It is what we call the golden rule. And it is very simple. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus says it. He means it. And he even explains it a bit more in case anyone thinks he's kidding. And even says, I want you to lend to people who might not give you the money back. And I want you to love those who hate you. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And again, my submission this morning to all of us is that living by the golden rule leads to heaven and helps us reach heaven. And in this instance then, the pathway to heaven is in fact made of gold. Now I want to take this to a very practical level. Because there's no reason for us to overcomplicate the golden rule. So I made some notes about the things that we encounter during the week. First, for adults. If you ever are a pedestrian or a driver around San Francisco, you may have had the circumstance where you're trying to make a turn, and because of the way cars are made nowadays, where they have rather thick and wide supports between the windshield and the door of the car, you might look and you might miss a pedestrian, and then all of a sudden, last minute, you hit your brakes, and you're scared, the pedestrian is scared. And there's a couple of ways to treat that, right? The pedestrian can make a face, can scream at you, can curse, or the pedestrian can say, well, you know, I drive a lot too, and that happens. It's no biggie. So what do we want people to do to us? So we're in that crosswalk. Do we yell at the driver or do we say, no big deal, have a good day? How do we want to be treated as drivers when that happens to us? And by the way, when we have that experience and the two people part friends, it brings a lot of goodness into the world. It leads to the kingdom of God. And when we have that experience and people create animosity in each other, that animosity just multiplies. How about when you're driving and somebody is trying to signal to change lanes? How does that feel when you're trapped in one lane trying to get over and the person just keeps riding in your blind spot rather than letting you over? It's aggravating. It's frustrating. So we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. When we go to let somebody in the lane, we do it. And when we want to get in the lane, we hope somebody will do the same. The first cousin of that is backing out in the parking lot, whereas you're backing out very safely. Somebody's roaring through the parking lot, doesn't like the fact you're backing out and slams on the horn. Do unto others as we have them do unto you. And then for those of us who live in this neck of the woods, what about merging? What about merging and people aren't going the speed limit? Have you ever gone out of the church here and made that right to get onto 19th Avenue going north? And what happens? People are coming off of the expressway, and instead of going 45, they're going 65. And the merge is impossible. And then if you try to nudge out there, they resent you for coming out into the lane. It's so simple. Just to do unto others as we would have them do unto you. And by the way, is it any wonder that those of us who drive around here, it really either makes or breaks us as Christians, doesn't it? Because we can either bring a lot of goodness into the world, or we can ruin somebody else's day, ours in the process. Here's some very simple examples of living by the golden rule at work. Don't gossip. If you want to be cured of gossip, just walk up behind somebody while they're gossiping about you. It will cure you immediately. So be kind, and be kind when we speak about others, because that's what we want people to do to us. It's heartbreaking when we find out that somebody's been speaking badly about us. At work, don't borrow things that don't belong to you. So if your coworker has a very nice scissors, even if that scissors was issued by the company, don't borrow it, quote unquote. Go get a scissors of your own somehow, because it's going to be very frustrating the next time your coworker goes to use that scissors. And then put things back where they belong. Is it a sin? Is it a sin not to put things back where they belong? I don't know. It might be if we cause our brother or sister to get angry with us. But there's a reason, those of us who work with tools for a living, you know, there's a reason that in many toolboxes they have the shape of the tool cut right out in there so they can remind people to put the tools back where they belong. How about people that live as part of a family, maybe married folk? There are times our spouse has an interest that really doesn't appeal to us too much. It might be a certain kind of movie or a concert, an excursion, but we do it. And we do it because there are things about our lives that might not interest our spouse. So we go with our wife to hear opera, and she goes with us to hear jazz. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. When we're married, we have to listen to each other, even when we're tired. And sometimes that takes some work, because we really don't want to hear about our spouse's problems. But if we don't do that, how can we ever expect our spouse to listen to our problems? How about the time that your spouse just snaps at you for no reason? Do you snap back, or do you turn the other cheek? Well, there comes a day when we snap at our spouse for no reason, and how do we want them to treat us? Teenagers. Teenagers go out, and they go out for the evening, and the parents say, just call and check in, let me know where you are, you know what time you need to be home, but just give me a call so I know you're okay. And we say, oh, come on. Don't make me do that. But teens, how would you like it if you got home by your 9:30 or 10 o'clock curfew and your parents weren't there? No note. No voicemail message, just nothing. And then they came home like at 4:30 in the morning and scared you while they were walking in the door. And you said, Mom and Dad, where you been? What are they going to say to you? What's it to you? My life doesn't belong to you. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Teenagers are very sensitive. They have sensitive feelings. But they forget that their parents have feelings too. And that parents can be fatigued. Parents can be worried. They can be dealing with illness. They can be dealing with a million different things. So teenagers should be as sensitive to the feelings of those around them as they want people to be sensitive to their own feelings. And then finally, there's this whole business of helping with something that nobody asks you to do, whether it's picking up the living room or emptying the dishwasher, doing something little around the house. Is it a sin not to help around the house? I think it is, because that's selfishness. Is it good and beautiful to reach out and do something for somebody, even if they haven't asked you to do it, because you know they need your help? Absolutely. And then finally, with younger children, because younger children can certainly begin to practice the golden rule, tell the truth. Tell the truth. If your parents ask you if you did something, you didn't do it, just say, you know, I didn't do it, but I'll do it later, I'm sorry. Because we don't want people to lie to us. And young children discover very quickly that their peers are expert liars. Sharing. Sharing is something all of us need to do, but it's a good thing that young people can practice. And sharing, it helps us grow as Christians, and it's one of the biggest reasons that growing up in a family is a great way to learn to be a Christian. And if you want people to share with you, then you share with them. And then finally, in this list of examples that concludes with one more reminder for young people, it's to be patient. Patience is something that, if not learned at a young age, people typically have a difficult time acquiring it as adults. So learn it early. And things will get done for you as they need to be get done, and they need to be done, and they will get done in the proper time. Now, here is the beautiful thing about living this way, following the golden rule. It spreads goodness. It spreads God's grace. It is contagious salvation. Because the more I live as a Christian and share that with others, the more faith there is in the world. And the more I reject the golden rule, the more ugliness there is in the world. You have heard me say many times, and we will say again and again, that we begin to taste of heaven in this life. The road to heaven is opening up right now, and we're supposed to get on it. And this is a very simple thing for us to do. So simple that it hardly needs explaining, except then when we actually start picking it apart, and if we go down all this list of things that are very simple to do, and we were to grade ourselves, we might not always get a passing grade. So that's my very simple message this morning. It is a message that is congruent with what we were trying to teach downstairs in Sunday school this morning to our young people. The message is this. Revelation 21:21 is not a fantastical image of a dream of John the Evangelist, John of Patmos. His vision of heaven is 100% accurate. The streets of heaven, the path to heaven, are paved not simply with gold, but they're paved when you and I agree to live by the golden rule.